We have considered his existence, and we found out that what Satan really wants to do is make people not believe in him. And it's interesting that there's a whole church of Satan. I don't know if you took the time to research that online, but it's an amazing feature, and I shared many of the aspects of what they believe. They themselves don't even believe in the existence of Satan. It's like a cover. And if he can convince people he doesn't exist, he's got them. We looked at the various names of Satan, his character, personality, and position. And I believe in our study, I have emphasized that I think his major function, that which Satan desires to do more than anything, is to deceive. And as we have seen, that he has succeeded on many fronts to deceive people. He led a third of the angels in a revolt against Jehovah God to leave the glory of heaven and follow him. He influenced Eve and brought the entire human race into sin. He was even able to deceive one of Jesus' own disciples who had been with the Lord for 3 years in close contact for 30 pieces of silver. And tonight we're going to consider his work in deceiving the nations. Please take your Bible and let's start in 2 Corinthians 4. And I'm just going to take the whole overhead. And if you choose to read the whole thing and you finish the message before I do, just don't tell anybody. Second Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Whose minds the God of this age, and as we studied, that's one of his various names, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ should shine, who is the image of God, should shine on them. 2 Corinthians 4:4 reminds us that as Satan is the god of this age, he is in control of this worldly sphere of activity. It's under his domain. And in this world, there are many men and women who are not children of God through faith in Christ, and it talks about that here. They do not believe. And I often say we should talk about them as they haven't believed yet. And that gives us hope in order to pray for them and reach them. But they have not put faith in Christ yet. And these people are under the influence of Satan and they don't even know it. And many of these people are in leadership positions in governments all over the world. How do we know that? Well, come back with me to Isaiah 14. You might remember at the very outset of our study, we looked at Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And both of those passages outline for us the really biography of Satan, if you would, where he came from and all that he desired. And what's interesting is that both in Isaiah and in Ezekiel, when the Lord, through those prophets, gave the description of Satan, they did so through the personification of a human leader, someone who was in the government of that day. And so what the prophet was basically saying is, and I'm not going to name names here, so I'm going to be very careful, but take governor so-and-so or president so-and-so or chancellor so-and-so, and that's Satan. That's really what the prophet did in that day. You can understand that being a prophet wasn't a popular job. If you were married to a prophet, you probably were not too happy. And if you were the child of a prophet, you probably faced a lot of ridicule. They didn't say what was popular. They said what God said was true. And so, you know, in both these personifications, you have a political leader who the prophet basically says, you're the devil. That's pretty harsh. But in Isaiah 14... and this is extra, it's not on the overhead, so it's free. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? you who are cut to the ground, and then look at this verse. Underline it if you like to underline in your Bible. You who weakened the nations. What an amazing thought. That Satan has probably taken nations that could have been powerful nations and caused them to become third world nations or worse. How many nations has he weakened? Some of us wonder, is he working to weaken America? I don't think we have to think too hard to figure out the answer to that. His work is to weaken nations, and that's clear from Scripture. Over in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, the book of Revelation is filled with all kinds of prophecies about the end and much of the work that Satan will be doing during the tribulation period, of course, until the time that he's cast during the millennial kingdom into a place of holding, and he's bound for 1,000 years. But in Revelation 20, in verse 3, it says, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him. Notice this, so that he should deceive the nations no more. Even John in his Revelation tells us that the work of Satan is to deceive the nations. And as the Lord puts him in this pit for 1,000 years, he's going to keep him from being able to deceive the nations. He won't be able to carry on that work for 1,000 years. However, come down to verse 7, and it says that now when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan will be released from prison. Well, you know what he's going to do, because we know what his M.O. is. He will go out, and we could have predicted it, to deceive the nations. It's right there in verse 8. Which are in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, whose number is as the sand of the sea. You've been to the beach yet this year? Go down to the beach. I'll give you a challenge. Just reach down and pull up a handful of sand and count how many particles there are. Have you ever tried to do that? And that's just in one hand. And the Bible says here, he is going to go northwest, east, and south, cover the whole globe, and pull in a following that is innumerable. That's the point that John's making. Don't even bother trying to count, because you can't go that high. It says they went up on the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. The devil who deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. It's written in the book. We all know what his end is. Guess what? He knows what his end is too. We studied the fact that Satan is not like God. He's not omniscient. He can't read your minds. He doesn't know where you are all the time. He doesn't know the future any more than you and I do, who can read the book. He's read the book. He knows what his end is. He's still going to do it. He's still going to carry it out, even though he knows his end will be destruction. So Satan has a master plan to deceive, and his prime targets are the nations of the world. In Matthew chapter 4, you know that passage. You've often had me turn you to it after a baptism. It's when Jesus was baptized. In Matthew chapter 3, and he then went into the wilderness to face the temptation of the devil. And he was tempted there, the scripture says, for many, many days. But as Jesus is tempted by Satan, we find a very interesting concept in verses 8 through 10. For Jesus says, it says in Matthew 8, before Jesus' words, again, the devil took Jesus up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, Satan speaking to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me. What's very interesting is that Jesus never debates the fact that Satan has the authority to do that. that Satan owns and controls and has under his power all the nations of the world. That's not a debatable issue to Jesus. Jesus doesn't say, you know, earlier he said, you know, don't tempt the Lord your God. Man shall not live by bread alone. You know, he debates, you know, Satan, cast yourself down. He misquotes the psalm. Jesus straightens him out. But on this point, no debate. Yeah, you have that authority. You control all the kings of the world. They're underneath your domain. And of course, Jesus recognizes the legitimacy of the offer, that all the nations of this world are under his control. Come with me to Luke 4. That's Luke's account of this. And Luke adds a couple of extra words by Satan that Matthew, maybe he didn't listen or catch on. But in Luke 4, verse 6, the devil says to him, Jesus, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. What an interesting statement by Satan. This has been delivered to me. Who gave it to him? Who gave it to him? God. God gave it to him. When he was cast from heaven with a third of the angels, God gave him the authority to be the God of this age, the prince and the power of the air, to be the one who has the control. I mean, if you don't think that the words of Paul to Timothy, that we should pray for our leaders, those are important. Maybe now you realize how important they are. Because there is a spiritual dynamic in life. And our leaders are listening to voices. And sometimes they're listening to the wrong voices. But spiritually, there's a work going on in each one of their hearts. How do we know that? Because it says in Ecclesiastes that God has put into the hearts of men eternity. There is a concept that every person has that there's something more than what we are experiencing here. And to the people who want to make a name for themselves right here and now, and they don't care who they hurt along the way or what the impact or consequences are, just so that they can progress and succeed themselves, they don't care who they walk over. But to those who realize that they are part of the building blocks of history and all that they do, another is going to come after them. Like many of our founding fathers recognized, their role and responsibility to lay a foundation so that we could prosper as a nation. That's a godly concept. An ungodly concept is hurt as many people as you want along the way and don't worry about it, just as long as you're happy. That's the concept Satan has. Somehow, Satan has been able to deceive nations to submit to his authority. Luke records that word in verse 6, that I have this authority. This by no means implies that all people serving in the government are Satan's disciples. I want to make that clear. That's not what I'm saying. And the proof text for that biblically is the book of Daniel. Because Daniel was a man who God raised to a great position of authority in Babylon. And he was a spirit-filled man. He was a God-fearing man. So here's a man involved in government. And Joseph is also another good example of men involved in government who were not controlled by Satan. They're good examples of godly men in government. Do we have godly men in our government? Let's just talk about America. I think we do. A couple of years ago, I had an opportunity to go to a gathering, and it was actually in New York City, and I met my dad's cousin, and I asked him, Dad, what's his name again? Scott Garrett, thanks. I asked my dad's cousin, Scott Garrett, who's a congressman up north, and said, how many of you are there in Washington? And he says, well, there's about 23 of us. I said, you know exactly. He says, yeah, we know exactly how many of us there are. Chris Smith is one. I've prayed with him in his office. God-fearing man. Do they face temptations? Absolutely. How we need to pray for these people. We need to be aware of the reality of the satanic world. Well, Satan's most glaring work of deceiving the nations rather of the world is going to be seen through the tribulation. I want you to come with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It's almost like Satan is getting ready to show peace his ultimate control and destruction of a people through the tribulation period. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning in verse 8, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of, you guessed it, Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception. Notice that, unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. For this reason, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. So the false Christ, Antichrist, the one against Christ, comes on the scene, and notice what he does in verse 9. He's a miracle worker. He's a powerful speaker. He's an impressive personality. He woos millions of people and puts them into the palm of his hand and controls them through power, signs, and lying wonders. We come to Revelation chapter 13, and we see some of the workings. You know, behind the scenes, Satan is working, and he's pushing people out into the front. And in Revelation 13, we have time, I'm going to read these 10 verses. Then I stood on the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising up out of the sea, having 7 horns and 10 horns, and his horn 10 crowns, on his horn 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power. Oh, by the way, who's the dragon? One of the names of Satan. We studied that. That's where he gets his power from, his throne and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as if it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. Wow, look at that. And there are many Bible scholars, you've read this, who believe that that mortal wound is that he was killed and he came back to life. How many people during that tribulation period attended Sunday school or vacation Bible school, and immediately in their mind, I remember a story about a man who died and rose again. This must be him. And that's what they're going to think. It's a deception. So they worshiped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshiped the beast saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And authority was given to him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. Once again, given of authority and power. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. He who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and of the faith of the saints. So behind the beast is Satan, the dragon. He will gain control of the nations through deception. Verses 13 through 15, indicate that he will use supernatural power then to accomplish this goal. Let me read those verses. He performs great signs so that he may even make fire come down from heaven. Well, that's pretty miraculous. Have you pulled that one off lately? Pull down fire from heaven? That's somebody who possesses great power. How many people are going to think, oh, that's got to be, you know, Jesus, one time his disciples said, bring down fire from heaven. Elijah brought fire down from heaven. That must be a work of God. Verse 14, and he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling those who dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. And so we see all of this working that is done by people, Antichrist, false prophet, and Satan is behind all of it. What is taking place at this time will be a great attempt to unify people under a religious system, a visible personal object. Notice the worship of this beast and all of those who will worship together. Come to Revelation 19. Let's bring this in. Verses 17 through 21. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather together for the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, and of those who sit on them, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, both small and great. And I saw the beast, the kings of the earth. What an association. The beast, the kings of the earth, all these governmental leaders and their armies gathered together to make war against Christ, him who sat on the horse, and against his army. And so it explains that at the end, the beast, the Antichrist man of sin, the beast who is the political leader and the false prophet, the religious leader, all three of these individuals work together in harmony to deceive. And in verse 20, then it says, the beast was captured, and with the false prophet who worked signs in his presence, and with which he who deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image, these two will be cast into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. It tells us how the multitudes then who are deceived are going to follow then with them. So what we do know is that an identifying symbol of one who is in authority is to put a mark upon people, and that's what's talked about here. And what is that mark? It's been talked about before. It's the number 666. How is that going to be played out? Is it a credit card? Is it a chip that's in your hand or in your forehead? We don't know. All we know is that, as it says right here, you won't be able to do any purchasing, buying, selling without that mark. That mark symbolizes that you've given yourself over to worship the beast. And of course, the people who make a decision for Christ, who choose, I'm not going to go for that mark, what's going to happen to them? Well, we know many of them are going to be martyred, but Jesus said those days will be shortened. Otherwise, no one could be saved. So it won't be as extended as long as it could be. It'll only be 3.5 years. So Satan has, you could say, a board of governors, per se. Come with me to Revelation 17, verse 12. It talks about the 10 horns which you saw are 10 kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. So the 10-nation coalition is sort of like the board of governors of Satan. And through these 10 rulers, these are leaders, governmental leaders, kings, presidents, whatever you might want to call them. And through these 10 rulers, Satan will direct the affairs of the world during the tribulation. And some of us think that even now he is starting to form that board, putting out applications. Who might be on it? So Satan is behind the scenes of anything that is not of God. And the scriptures tell us that his main purpose is to deceive the nations. We know that one day he will work through two key figures, as we pointed out, but that rule will be destroyed by Christ at his second coming. As for now, Satan is controlling the affairs of nations, primarily through deception. What is deception? How many times did we read the opposite of deception is truth? What is truth? Well, we did a whole summer series, a whole year series on what is truth, with focus on the family and those wonderful lessons through the Truth Project. Truth is in opposition to deception. How do you find truth? Ask questions. Do research. Even today, you and I can easily be deceived when we turn on the news and we hear something and we run off starting to tell people what we heard. It's simple. I mean, it kind of goes back and forth between Whiting Bible Church and America's Keswick. Every once in a while, somebody will hear something and then an email gets shot. And then I'll say to Jason, hey, we got to research this. This doesn't look right. And, you know, Drudge Report or Snoop, we go to all these things. That's not even true. You know, they're claiming that this particular person in our government said this or did this. And it's not factual. It's not truthful. What is it? It's designed to deceive. Where does that come from? It shouldn't come from Christians. Christians should never be a part of deception. We should be a part of truth. We need to seek to understand God's wisdom so that we can identify when Satan is deceiving us. He's deceiving many. We don't want to be part of it. I want to encourage you, pray for your leaders. You know, get their names. Get them on your prayer list. Write them. We just had something through the New Jersey Family Policy Council. I really appreciate that ministry, and I hope that we gave them a wonderful gift today, because they just helped us with an issue that came up in our own state with this whole matter of counseling people who have a same-sex attraction, which obviously is contrary to the way God has designed us to be. Romans chapter 1, they gave up natural affection for the opposite sex and they went for their own sex. It's all in Romans chapter 1. And so Greg Quinlan put this whole thing together. All we had to do was fill in the boxes of our name, our email address, and immediately an email gets sent to Governor Christie. Don't sign this. Destroy this. Let's him know there are thousands, hopefully millions of people who are against that bill. I mean, we as a church, if a young person came in here and said to Pastor Jason, you know, I think I like the same sex, and he started counseling them towards God's word, if a certain person found out about that, they'd come at us. Well, fortunately, we have a good Christian lawyer, and we have insurance, so we'd be covered. But this is one of their tactics. They want to bring the church down through lawsuits. Very deceptive. And the kids walk in here, you know, oh, I love your church, I want to be a part of it, and then all of a sudden they throw this whammy at you, trying to throw you, of course. Well, there are people in government who can help us, who haven't been deceived yet. Hopefully they're not going to be deceived, and we need to get connected with them. So know who your legislators are. Pray for them and pray that the Spirit of God would get a hold of them and that they wouldn't be given into the deception of Satan. I don't know where we're going to go from here as a country. I pray even so come, Lord Jesus. But the Bible tells us what's going to happen. And let's be faithful till the end. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you've given us truth. May we sincerely desire truth. When we hear something, help us to be those who are willing to do the hard work of research to get to the primary sources and find out the reality of the statement, whether it's true or not. And if it's a deception, and if it's a lie, and if it's intended to just make somebody look bad, help us, Lord, to not be a part of that. Help us to be those who want truth and who uphold truth. And Lord, just we pray for our leaders. We pray for our governor. We pray for our congressman. We pray, Father, for our mayor, our legislator in New Jersey. Pray for our president. We ask, Lord, that they would have hearts moved toward you and that they would not be given into the deception of Satan. I thank you, Lord, for the power that is in us because of Christ our Savior. May we go forth as your children and victory. We pray in Jesus' name.